In this live stream, we are going to discuss one of the most important books, definitely in the past 100 years. Some people say it's the most important book after the Holy Scriptures. We're going to discuss the diary of Saint Faustina. And then I'm going to share with you some of the passages that really stabbed me in the heart and changed the way I view not just God's mercy, but every facet of my spiritual life. By my bed, I usually have two books. One of the books comes in and out in rotation, but the other book is consistent, and that's the diary of Saint Faustina. I consider students of Saint Faustina, lovers of the divine mercy, some of the most blessed, some of the most powerful, some of the most holy people on this earth, because if you're a lover of the divine mercy, God has revealed to you the secrets of his heart. A person who knows the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, who knows the secrets of the diary of Saint Faustina, they have a key, and that key unlocks the heart of God, unlocks the treasury of divine graces, and somebody who's destined for hell can be saved. This diary is hated by the devil, and it's hated by the devil because in this diary you discover the secret to sanctity. You discover the power of suffering. You discover words of consolation to trust God in adversity. You read about a woman who treats the Eucharist as if it's really Jesus and confession as if it truly is an ocean of God's mercy. So the devil will attack this book from the left and from the right, but I want to prove to you by opening this and revealing some of its passages to you that this is pure spiritual gold. And the first quote I want to share with you is concerning Saint Faustina's writing of this diary. So she began to write under the obedience of her spiritual director and then under the obedience of Jesus Christ himself. This is what Jesus says to Saint Faustina. Your task is to write down everything that I make known to you about my mercy for the benefit of those who by reading these things will be comforted in their souls and will have the courage to approach me. So if this is true and the church has put her seal of approval on it, one of the greatest saints of the modern era, Pope John Paul II, one of his hallmark keystone moments was canonizing Saint Faustina and proclaiming the Sunday after Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, which is also the octave of Easter, which puts even more emphasis on this message. If this is the message of God, it's going to be full of inspirations. So I want to encourage you to go out and order a copy of the Diary of Saint Faustina. The version I have in my hands is my favorite version of it. It's put out by the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, and it's leather bound. But what I like most about it, not just that it smells good, not just that it looks good, but that it's smaller. There's larger versions that are cheaper, but I'm easily intimidated. So I mentioned that I want to share with you some quotes, and I'm going to give them to you in the context of the various devotions that are revealed through the Diary of Saint Faustina. This is very important. In church-approved apparitions, there usually accompanies a sign, an image. If you think of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we have the tilma. You think of Our Lady of Lourdes, we have the miraculous water. We think of Our Lady of Fatima, yes, a re-emphasis on the rosary, but there was that sign that was seen by over 70,000. With the message of divine mercy, we have this beautiful diary, the words of Jesus to Saint Faustina. We have the image of the divine mercy, and we have the chaplet of divine mercy, and the church again has given us the feast of the divine mercy. So this is just like a plethora of goods that our Lord is giving us, but the quotes I want to point out are going to make each of those things more beautiful, more holy, and very special. So let's take a look first about praying with the Passion. The first quote is an insight that Saint Faustina received when she prays with the Passion. This is the quote. Again, Saint Faustina. When I meditate upon the Passion of Jesus, I get a clear understanding of many things that I could not comprehend before. Maybe you have experienced this. You have a question. You have a doubt. You're praying the rosary. You're praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, the Our Lady of Sorrows devotion. And in the middle of your prayer, all of a sudden you have an epiphany. You have the answer to your question. You have a sudden understanding. Saint Faustina confirms this is also her experience. This is very powerful. This comes from Jesus Christ himself. There is more merit to 1 hour of meditation on my sorrowful passion than there is to a whole year of flagellation that draws blood. The contemplation of my painful wounds is of great profit to you. We often think that hard, mortifying things are good for saving souls, and they are. But Jesus is saying, as good as those things might be, the true sacrifice that saves souls is his suffering. And by us spending 1 hour of time with him in his sorrows, we're going to receive an ocean of graces. Now, Jesus says, meditating for 1 hour on my passion. Many people don't spend an entire hour meditating on their passion, but how can we include the passion of Christ more deeply in our devotions? I'm going to suggest to you really making an effort during your Chaplet of Divine Mercy to immerse yourself in the passion of Christ. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy takes 7 minutes, just about, but really make an effort in that time dedicated to his passion to really visualize, really immerse yourself there. There are few souls who contemplate my passion with true feeling. I give great graces to souls who meditate devoutly on my passion. Again, what does it mean to meditate with true feeling? With true intentionality. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have emotions in your heart, but you're really making an effort to have compassion with Christ, to suffer with Christ. When it seems to you that your suffering exceeds your strength, contemplate my wounds. Meditation on my passion will help you to rise above all things. Now, this is huge. I first realized this when I was interviewing Immaculée Ilibagiza. She said that she was feeling intense pain in her body, but when she would go with Jesus, the agony in the garden, the scourging at the pillar, she would be immersed in his sufferings, and it would be as if her sufferings would diminish. Jesus is affirming this. When it seems that your suffering is unbearable, enter deeply into his suffering. This does a couple of things. Number one, it shows you what good suffering looks like. Our Lord embracing that cross, kissing that cross for the salvation of others. But two, a special theosis occurs. When you spend time with he who suffers, in his presence, all of a sudden, you will receive an interior strength to suffer well. It won't just be in the mind. You will feel that strengthening in the soul, and you will be given the grace to pick up that cross and keep moving forward. Meditation on my passion will help you rise above all things. All things. No exceptions. The answer to every problem in life is the life of Jesus Christ, most especially his sorrowful death on that cross. There is nothing that the cross cannot conquer. Be confident in that. Next quote. This is going to give us an insight on how to meditate deeply on his passion. This is from Saint Faustina. She says, I accompanied him to the Garden of Gethsemane. I stayed with him in the prison. I went with him before the judges. I underwent with him each of the tortures. Not a single one of his movements or looks escaped my notice. So she's using her imagination. She's visualizing all of these mysteries as if she's really present. And I'm going to give you a little secret. Saint Teresa of Avila says that those who pray in this way, that is the gateway, the entry point to all the higher forms of prayer. And if you read the diary of Saint Faustina, you will read where she is visualizing, she's in deep prayer, she's there in these places, and then all of a sudden she really is truly there in these places. And when she comes out of prayer, she has blood sweating coming from her pores because she was enduring part of the passion. So it started off as a meditation, as a mental prayer, and then a mystical thing occurred to where she was really there. So I really encourage you to learn mental prayer. I've got a great video on that if you want to learn more about it. So briefly, if you are going to integrate meditation on the Passion in the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, you would pause before every decade, make a quick act of faith in the presence of God, just His closeness, just His nearness to you. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you can be in a church. He's really present in the tabernacle. So just quickly, a quick act of recollection. Just take a moment to consider whatever aspect of the passion that you're meditating upon. Consider Him being scourged at the pillar just long enough for it to make an impression on you is sufficient, but the longer the better. The longer you're with Jesus in the passion, the more graces you'll receive. And then have a quick heart-to-heart conversation with Him in that mystery. Tell Him from your heart, Lord, you're suffering the scourging at the pillar. I offer the blood that came from your wounds for the conversion of my son, for my husband to become a saint. Whatever your intention is, and look at Him, look into His eyes in that mystery. So to incorporate the passion into your chaplet of divine mercy doesn't necessarily need to take long. It's a short devotion, and simply by making it 10 to 20 seconds longer in each decade, you can maximize the amount of graces you can receive. So speaking of the chaplet of the divine mercy, let us get into the text where Saint Faustina receives from Jesus this great and powerful devotion, because I believe some of the promises will convict you to pray it and pray it well if you don't already. Through this chaplet, you will obtain everything if what you ask for is compatible with my will. My daughter, encourage souls to say the chaplet which I have given to you. It pleases me to grant everything they ask of me by saying the chaplet. When hardened sinners say it, I will fill their souls with peace, and the hour of their death will be a happy one. It pleases me to grant everything they ask of me by saying the chaplet. Our Lord is pleased when we pray this chaplet of divine mercy. It doesn't mean you're gonna get everything that you want, but you will receive what you need. And then our Lord adds a little extra. If you get a hardened sinner to pray this chaplet, He will fill their souls with peace, and the hour of their death will be a happy one. Now this gives us motivation to evangelize. We all have family, we all have friends who are away from the church. So if there's somebody in your life who's away from the faith and they're struggling, do them a favor. Give them the great gift of peace of soul. Teach them the chaplet of divine mercy. Invite them to pray the chaplet with you. Not only will they have peace in their soul, but you're going to guarantee them a happy death. When they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as the just judge, but as the merciful Savior. This is a promise that I can testify. I have witnessed this with my own eyes. My cousin had been in a gang, and when he left the gang, they retaliated. They got a knife, they stabbed him in the stomach, ripped him from left to right. All of his insides came out, and he was at death's door. I went and I visited him in the ICU. I did not pray the chaplet of divine mercy well, because I didn't know how. I was in college when this happened, but I did pray it with all my heart, with all my mind, and all my soul. I was in the hospital. I had his hand in my hand, and my other hand praying the chaplet of divine mercy. When I finished, and I said, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world, I let his hand go. And as I let his hand go, his hand began to rise, and he squeezed his hand into a fist, and all of a sudden his heart rate began to rise, and he woke up, and within 1 week, he was out of the ICU. He was in Houston staying with my family, and he repented and made a good confession of his entire life. So I mentioned to you that I did not pray it well, because God knows we do the best we can with what we have. Pray the chaplet of divine mercy with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul. Try to meditate upon the passion. But even if you don't meditate well, know that it's not so much how you feel about it, but how much effort you put forth. I give you my word. Pray this chaplet in the presence of the dying. And I'll give you one further. How much is the mercy of God. He says that his mercy is like an ocean, and our sins are like a pebble in that ocean. It just disappears. It's like a drop. What if the dying person is far away? How great is the mercy of God? Can I pray the chaplet of divine mercy right here where I am for my grandfather who's dying in Florida? I believe you can do it. I have no doubt in the mercy of God. And I hope you begin to see just how much the mercy of God is being opened to us through this diary. Jesus says to Faustina, "Say unceasingly the chaplet that I have taught you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death." So we're praying this for our intentions. We're praying this for the salvation of people that we genuinely love. And by doing this, God himself is promising you his mercy. Why is this so powerful? Let's just think of the words for a moment. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. We are offering to God the Father the passion of Jesus Christ, which can save all the souls who have ever lived for anybody who is willing to accept the mercy of God. We pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and the blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. What are we really offering? We're offering the Holy Eucharist. We're offering the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Our prayers are being united to that one same saving sacrifice. This is pure power. Now, this brings me to the next topic. I absolutely love the image of the Divine Mercy. I want to change the way you see the image of the Divine Mercy, because at the bottom of that image, it says, "Jesus, I trust in you." One of the major themes of the Diary of Saint Faustina is trust, is having confidence in God. So I want to share with you a couple of quotes. Then we will look at promises for the image of the Divine Mercy in light of suffering. Because when don't we trust? We don't trust God when we're suffering. We trust God when everything's going great. "Most dear to me is the soul that strongly believes in my goodness and has complete trust in me. I heap my confidence upon it and give it all it asks. The graces of my mercy are drawn by means of one vessel only, and that is trust. The more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. Oh, how much I am hurt by a soul's distrust. It's harder to trust God in times of adversity." And so when we look at the image of the Divine Mercy, we're going to say, "I trust," because what did Jesus do in the agony in the garden? He said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done. I don't like this. It doesn't feel good. I wish it would pass. Take this chalice from me, but I trust you." So whenever we trust, we unite our trust to the trust of Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus has to say about suffering and sacrifice. And this should transform the way we see the image of the Divine Mercy. "Suffering is a great grace. Through suffering, the soul becomes like the Savior. In suffering, love becomes crystallized. The greater the suffering, the purer the love. It is not for the success of a work, but for the suffering that I give reward." So when something is easy, there's less merit. But if something is difficult, and even if it doesn't reach that many people, if you're doing something really good and it's costing you and you're doing it out of love for the Lord is going to repay you, not by how much success you had in human terms, but how much did you love? How much did you sacrifice? How much did you suffer? Every conversion of a sinful soul demands sacrifice. So many people have loved ones in their families, husbands, wives, that are away from the church. They ask, "What can I do? What can I say? If only they could hear this talk. If only they would go to this conference." Conversion is a grace. Grace is obtained through prayer. And Jesus is saying, sacrifice. You want to save souls? Every conversion of a sinful soul demands sacrifice, demands suffering, fasting, patient endurance of trials. Sometimes we say, "God, why am I sick?" Embrace that sickness. Jesus to Saint Faustina, Oh, if only the suffering soul knew how it is loved by God, it would die of joy and excess happiness. Someday we will know the value of suffering, but then we will no longer be able to suffer. We look in the mirror of eternity, and our suffering has transformed us into Christ. The moment we see the value, it's going to be too late. So what do we have to do? We have to trust that God is all-powerful. There's a quote from the diary that says to St. Faustina, "Is my omnipotence not enough for you? Do you not trust that I am the Alpha and the Omega?" We have to trust that God allows suffering for our greater good, and His greatest desire is that we become saints, that we save as many souls as possible. St. Faustina says, "Today the Lord said to me, 'I have need of your sufferings to rescue souls.'" And St. Faustina's response should be our response. She responds, "Oh my Jesus, do with me as you please." In other words, "Jesus, I trust in you." When we look at the image of the Divine Mercy, who do we see? Do we see the crucified Lord? No, we see the resurrected Lord. All the passion, all the suffering, all the trials, all the test of trust, in His image we see the power and the glory of the resurrection. Yes, we love the crucifix because our Lord loved it and chose it to be the vehicle for our salvation. And when we look at the image of the Divine Mercy, we should say, "I trust you. I trust that this suffering that I'm enduring is going to turn into salvation. I trust this is resurrection power for the ones that I love." So every time you look at that image of the Divine Mercy, you say, "Confidence, I have trust that God's going to turn this circumstance around. I enter into the passion because only by the cross can I come out the other side with our Lord risen in glory, in power." And our Lord wants us to be reminded to have trust in Him. So He gives great promises to those who have the image of the Divine Mercy in their homes and they venerate it. Let's take a look at some of these promises. Jesus to St. Faustina. "I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. I also promise victory over enemies already here on earth, especially at the hour of death. I myself will defend it as my own glory." Now, we should love our neighbor as ourselves, but we find ourselves in these little grudges. You want victory over your enemies? You venerate the image of the Divine Mercy, and what you're going to find is your enemy is going to become your friend. I know our Lord, you have no enemies. Your enemy is going to become your friend. He's going to make you love your enemy. And the image of the Divine Mercy will guarantee that you're not going to perish. Because at the hour of your death, what's going to keep you from perishing? The mercy of God. And you're having a devotion to His mercy. At the hour of your death, you say, "Lord, I trust you." And you enter into eternity. "By means of this image, I shall grant many graces to souls. It is to be a reminder of the demands of my mercy. I carry this image with me everywhere. I will usually carry this image over my heart. And when I'm struggling, when I'm in a situation that demands faith, that I need a little boost of confidence, I need a little reminder of the power and the promises of God, I look at the image of the Divine Mercy and I say, 'Jesus, I trust in you. Let's go. Let's go, Lord.'" One of my favorite things about the Diary of St. Faustina is St. Faustina's devotion to the sacraments. They give you insights into the power of confession. When Faustina confesses, she treats the confessor as if it's Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ later says, "I told you through the confessor." When St. Faustina goes into the chapel, she treats Jesus in the tabernacle the same way that she treats Jesus when He walks into her room in the evening. So by reading this diary, you're going to obtain incredible insights into the power of confession and the reality of Jesus Christ's real, true, and substantial presence in the Holy Eucharist. Let me share with you just a few quotes. "When you approach the confessional, know this, that I myself am waiting there for you. I'm only hidden by the priest, but I myself act in your soul. Here, the misery of the soul meets the God of mercy. I'm not confessing to Father Joe or Father Ricardo. I'm confessing to Jesus Christ. Don't hold anything back. Accuse yourself in this tribunal of God's mercy, and the verdict will be you're cleared. Sentence removed. All your sins will be forgiven. The only sins that are not forgiven are those that we do not confess. And if you go into the confessional and you hide a sin out of shame or fear, and it's a mortal sin, none of your sins are forgiven. You have abused and committed sacrilege with this tribunal of God's abundant mercy. My brothers and sisters, treat the priest in the confessional like Jesus Christ. He is acting in the person of Jesus Christ when he says, through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is the devil who's trying to get you to avoid confession, who's trying to convince you to lie in the confessional. No. It is only Jesus Christ. And in the confessional, no matter what is said, as long as the words of absolution are said, all you will receive is mercy. And the abundance of God's mercy will flow into your life, and His love will spill into the lives of all of those that you love. In order to grow in holiness, you must be in the state of grace. Confession on a regular basis, I recommend minimum once per month, but I recommend a regular basis. Whether that's once every 2 weeks, personally, I go to confession once per week, and sometimes I'm sitting outside of the confession, I'm like, did I do anything wrong? I don't think I did anything wrong. Then I ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, reveal to me my sins. Blessed Virgin Mary, you are most pure. You love me more than any other person besides our Lord. Reveal to me the ways that I have sinned. What do I need to work on? Within a couple minutes, I'm like, oh, it's a good thing I'm in line for confession. We all have sins. The just man sins 7 times a day. Confession on a regular basis, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You wouldn't go a month without a shower, so come on, get in the confessional on a regular basis. The Eucharist. Know, my daughter, that the entire Holy Trinity finds its special delight in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No greater homage can be paid to God than to offer the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. Let me repeat that. No greater homage can be offered to God than to offer, and this is where it has that allusion to the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. We should be lining up by the millions for Holy Communion. The Eucharist is really, truly, and substantially the body, blood, soul, and divinity. This is our treasure. We should be doing everything possible to receive Holy Communion as often as possible. Try to go to daily Mass. Try to make it at least one extra Mass throughout the week besides Sundays. And the graces that you receive, only in eternity will you recognize the riches. But again, I have a little secret that I do during the holy consecration of the sacred species. What I say when the priest elevates the Eucharist or elevates the chalice, what I say is, Eternal Father, I offer you this, the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for my sins and for, because when we pray to God, we ask and He is a good Father. I have nothing to offer back to Him. But when I go to the Mass and I am present at the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, now I have something of value to offer Him. Now I have what He wants in return. He wants me to offer Him His Son. He wants me to offer Him this sacrifice of love. So try at the consecration to say this prayer, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and for the conversion of whoever, or for the grace to overcome. And what you will find is, if you have the habit of saying this, sometimes your mind at Mass isn't right. And by saying this prayer, it reminds you, whoa, wait a second. This isn't just a holy meal. This is the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the prayer itself helps to recollect you if for some reason at that sacred moment your mind is wandering. One more quote on the Eucharist. St. Faustina. One thing alone sustains me, and that is Holy Communion. From it, I draw all my strength. In it is all my comfort. I fear life on days when I do not receive Holy Communion. I tremble at the thought of how much I have to suffer, and I don't have the Eucharist. See what I mean? When you read the diary of St. Faustina, you're reading a woman who sees clearly. She trembles at the thought of going a day without having Jesus in Holy Communion. I fear life on days when I do not have Jesus in Holy Communion. From the Eucharist, I draw all my strength. And the reality is, she's right. If you're weak, if you're struggling, if you can barely hold your head up on days where you're in complete desolation and you long for the Eucharist, you say, Lord, I need you. I can't keep moving forward. You kneel down, you stick your tongue out. They give you Jesus in Holy Communion. Sometimes, on occasion, I will admit, I have felt a strength that does not come from me, that does not come from ordinary bread, a strength that gives you the grace to keep moving forward. And you're like, wow. I just needed Jesus. My soul was longing for God. And you really do feel like this is a divine medicine. Saint Therese of the Child Jesus said, receive Jesus in Holy Communion as often as possible. This is your medicine, moral medicine, emotional medicine, physical medicine. Now, finally, I want to conclude by integrating the divine mercy into different aspects of your life. Now, this is really where my life began to change regularly because of these little habits. It's just incredible the amount of graces you can do for minimal work. 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, set that alarm for 3 o'clock. This is what Jesus says to do at 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, implore my mercy, especially for sinners. And if only for a brief moment, immerse yourself in my passion. Particularly in my abandonment at the moment of agony. This is the hour of great mercy. In this hour, I will refuse nothing to the soul that makes a request of me in virtue of my passion. Set your alarm for 3 p.m. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. Take a look. As often as you hear the clock strike the third hour, immerse yourself completely in my mercy. Adoring and glorifying it. Invoke its omnipotence for the whole world, and particularly for poor sinners. For at that moment, mercy was opened wide for every soul. In this hour, you can obtain everything for yourself and for others for the asking. It was the hour of grace for the whole world. Mercy triumphed over justice. 3 o'clock is very special. Friday at 3 o'clock is even more special. Remember I mentioned that miracle earlier? That was on a Friday at 3 o'clock. But it's not just for obtaining healing at this time. If you have an important phone call to make, if you have an email to send, if you have a transaction that's difficult and it must be made, try and do it when possible at 3 o'clock. And this is the last thing I'll say about the 3 o'clock hour. The words of Jesus. My daughter, try your best to make the Stations of the Cross in this hour, provided that your duties permit it. And if you're not able to make the Stations of the Cross, then at least step into the chapel for a moment and adore, in the Blessed Sacrament, my heart, which is full of mercy. Should you be unable to step into the chapel, immerse yourself in prayer there where you happen to be, if only for a very brief instant. You might not work in a church. You might not be near a church. Even at your office, even in the kitchen, even at the dining hall of your university, pause for a moment. Just give our Lord a few moments. Be with Him. Immerse yourself in his passion. There are so many more beautiful quotes from this book. I keep this by my bedside, not because I'm necessarily reading it from cover to cover to get the life of St. Faustina. I did the audiobook for that. But I just read it, you know, one paragraph at a time. I'm open to what the Lord might have to say to me. And time again, this book has provided me with spiritual nourishment. Let's conclude in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, you have given us so much. You've given us your beautiful mother, your loving mother. You've given us your divine mercy. We ask that you speak to our hearts, that some aspect of this live stream would have stood out and become applicable to us. We ask that you inspire us with your Holy Spirit when we're out in the world, recall to mind some of the lessons from your diary. And we ask, for the sake of your sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.